Well, that's going to be my thought tonight.
The rural law. I am thinking about things being in order. I can't say that everything in my life I keep in order. And sometimes when I make statements like I am a person of order, or I think a lot about order or something like that, I think my wife kind of might challenge that. because my things aren't always in order. But that's not really what I mean by it. I mean I find a great value and appreciation in order, and the idea of order. And I am fascinated, even intrigued by human conduct concerning order. And how things out of order, I've wondered for ever since I was young about it, things that doesn't really make sense to order in my mind. I'm thinking about a small place I remember up near our hometown where we grew up. I grew up, and the whole house probably wasn't as big as a third of this room. The whole house. And I remember when they got a satellite dish out they got this brand new. I know these things are expensive at the time. And this little old house, almost a shack, you'd say, no siding on it, just almost fallen through, looks like. And they got this satellite dish, and I can remember thinking of the contradiction that I had about that in my mind. Why would anybody live in something like that? And take their resources and get something that seemed totally out of order to me. Totally. I've known people that had the attitude that I'm going to have my car painted, but it don't run. I mean, that was a contradiction to my mind. To somebody, I'm having a car painted. It won't run. Well, it'll be pretty when it gets. Well, but it don't run. Something's wrong with the order of things in people's mind. I would say, wait a minute. Let's see if we can get it to run. Let's put our resources into getting it to run, and then you can at least use it. And if you get more resources, you could possibly paint it. That seemed to be an order to my mind that's the way things need to go. There's people that would say, for instance, things like, hey, how you like my saddle? You don't have a horse. Boy, if one come around, I'd have a saddle to put on him. but wait a minute. Wouldn't you want to get a horse first? Before you think about the saddle idea? I'm telling you, that has been a fascination of mine most all my life about how people approached things around them. There have been people that said, hey, look, I'm going to be a farmer. You see my tractor? But you don't have any land. What are you going to do with the tractor? Well, I'm going to be a farmer. Well, wouldn't you want to start out with land? I mean, you would think that is an order that would have to come in a sequence of people's minds, and we do that in an idea of trying to figure out life or do things in life. And I've seen over and over things that never worked, things that never come about, plans and ideas that never started out in the right order. The guy with the tractor never gets the property. The guy with the saddle never has a horse. And the guy that paints his car never drives it. And after a while of this, they lose interest in it and it doesn't work. And after a while, it's off to the next thing. I've known people that said, I'm going to learn to ski. And the first thing they do is go buy all the paraphernalia to do it. Then they try to do it and they're good at it. And after one time, they have all the paraphernalia, but they never learn to ski. You know how many times people, I'm going to be a golfer. And I got to have golf clubs, golf this, pants, all this stuff. I got to look like a golfer. If you're going to be a golfer, you'd have to look like one. I'd always say, why don't you learn to golf? And then you can look like one. But no, I'm going to look like a golfer before I ever can even hit a golf ball. It's out of order. So I'm going to say it because I'm interested tonight about things being in order. And we do this, folks, listen. We do this in our spiritual life. There is things that are important to take care of. I think living for the Lord is... I think a lot of things are important as we get deeper in the Lord, as we live for the Lord. I think things are important about how much we care about the things around us, our own lives, our presentation, everything. I think it's all important. But you know, you can get away ahead of that and not have it right to start with. I knew a guy that I was talking with him. He was... on his deathbed, he was leaving. I was staying with him. It was up in the night. And he wanted to talk. And he started talking. And he started telling me about Christmas. And I didn't even know where he was going to start with. But he started talking about Christmas. And he started getting a little bit more about it. Started telling me all the evil things that had come. That started where it started from. And the evil, bad things were Christmas. And he started telling me all this. And I just sat and listened to a man talk. And finally he gets down and he gets rougher and rougher about it. And he gets stronger about it. And then he finally says to me, and I couldn't believe it. And he said, can you believe that somebody that was even called themselves a saint sent me a Christmas card? Okay. And then he said, you understand, don't you? And I said, I didn't want to say anything, just listening. You understand, don't you? You know what I'm talking about. You agree with that? You know what I'm talking about? And I said, I can get the points. Yeah. And he said, isn't that right? And I said, brother, love your wife. Treat your child right. Treat the people around. You got this thing out of order. Out of order. We can go into the fine-tuning. The fine-tuning of what things mean to us in life. And well, we should. But not if you don't love the people around you. You've done missed what will give you the right direction in how you feel about things are in your life when you've already missed the whole reason for it all to start with. Right? There's an order about things in life. There is something that is paramount. There is something that dictates what Christianity is. There is something that is the most important of all the things that if we don't have it, folks, everything else is going to fall in a rubbish heap of understandings. It's not going to work. We're not going to bless anybody by our understandings. We're not going to bless anybody by the way we do things and feel things because we've got the thing out of order. And when I find out in a love, possibly, that something someone's doing is not the best thing for them, and then the reaction would be right to try to tell them why they wouldn't do that. But if I don't have that right, it's rubbish. Yes. I can get the car painted, but it won't run. You can't do nothing with it. Do you know how many people want to try to shine the thing up and it don't run? So Lord, help us that we get the things in the right place and the right order of things. This scripture, this passage of scripture, comes from the second chapter of James. Oh, I'm going to read back a little bit. I'll go back to the fifth verse of the second chapter. Hearken, my beloved brethren. Hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him? But ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seats? Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by which ye are called? If ye fulfill the royal law according to the scriptures, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. This idea has a lot to do with respect of persons and the way you, with all of our biased and prejudices of who we are and where we came from and our whole idea of lineage and all those kind of things. And maybe to me, everybody knows that people from West Virginia maybe are superior to Midwestern people and in some way or another. I mean, it would have to be that way. And probably I know it speaks so much about here in Missouri country, but I know the further you get towards Oklahoma, the stronger it gets. This is important stuff here. Well, this is part of what he's talking about, is about how people are like that. We really are like that. We section ourselves into so many things. I mean, naturally we do. I've got a family. It's Clevenger family. And so, Michael, the Clevenger family, by the very definition of family, we're a unit that isn't your unit. So you have a unit and I have a unit. By that definition, it's kind of split right there. I'm from West Virginia. There's boundaries to that. There's boundaries to the state of West Virginia. And when you come far enough to the west, you get into Kentucky. And West Virginians and Kentuckys are different people. You got Kentuckians, and as you come across the state and you hit in Indiana and Illinois, you get all the way into Missouri, you just change, and there's a lot of different things. We got it narrowed down to more than that. We got it down to where I'm, Pocahontas County now. It used to be from Webster County. Pocahontas County is different from the Randolph County, and where I grew up from, it got down into districts. I was from Diana. There was Hacker Valley, Diana, Webster, and Cowan, and we fought one another. We was in the same county, but it doesn't matter. You're from a different district, school district. So we were the Diana Demons, and it was the Webster Wildcats, and you fought against them. I mean, we were better than they were, and a lot, you know, I mean, just different people, better than that. We section our stuff self out that way, so the Lord's going to deal with that.
Yes, he is.
And what he comes and says to us in our dealings with it, rich, poor, social status, class. You go to India, you'll find the caste system, which means the people down to the lowest, and everybody accepts that if you're the lowest class, you stay in that order of class and those kind of things. But the Lord comes along there and dealing with this idea. He calls it the royal law. This is from the king. This, and not only that, it states something for the law itself. This law is a law above laws. This is the greatest of the laws. It's kin to the greatest of the laws. This is the law that is to take care of all of these problems. It takes care of all of these things. So, namely, love your neighbor as yourself. There's a negative idea to loving yourself in the scriptures. You can find it where it says men will be lovers of themselves. That is totally in a carnal, lustful sense. That term is in that. But it's not in this. And the idea is in this certain passage, is that we all love ourselves. Which brings out a real definition that he's not talking about the emotional side of love. Because I am never emotional about myself. As a matter of fact, I don't like myself. Very rarely do I even like myself. I am not a fan of me. I've caused me a lot of trouble. But that's not what it's talking about either. What it's talking about is that I take utmost care of myself. If I hurt, I rub it. If I wound myself, I'll do something to keep it from being infected. I'll wrap it. I'll nurture myself. If I get hungry, I eat. If I'm cold, I put something on or I'll build a fire. I'll do something to take care of those things in my life. If, whatever it comes into my life, I take care of it because I love myself. I take care of myself. I do that kind of stuff. And so the idea then is that this royal law is that we have the same kind of affections. Not emotional, but the same kind of value, worth of the of people around us. Folks, this is the premier law of Christ. This is the premier of who He was. This is why He suggests to us now. I'm going to say in order. Christianity without this as the beginning order is out of order. Every decision we make in life ought to be made by the royal law. It really should be. And to make a decision outside of that then would probably be an erroneous decision in some way. Or could be erroneous. Because we would only do it to see what kind of shine it would be. In other, or some other kind of way of performance. But it wouldn't be the right performance of it. So if you want to do this according to this scripture, he says, love your neighbor as yourself, you'll do well. Put this in the first order of your Christian draft. This is the first thing that we ought to make sure that we have this right. I don't like people that are drunk. I don't have to like it. But I have to make a decision that that person is valuable. Regardless of what they are doing, they are still valuable. And then because I make that then, I care for my neighbor as myself, which means if I have the opportunity to make his life better, I do it. You don't always have that potential. You don't always have the way of doing it, or they won't always give you the opportunity to do it. But given that opportunity, we ought to love our neighbors as ourselves. Ought to give them the same kind of worth and value. I'm a West Virginian and I ought to give you Missouri folks the same benefit that you're worth something. I should look beyond the Clevenger family into the Kincaid family and say they're just as valuable as my family is. They're just as right. There's a great debate today in immigration. Well, I know there's rules. I lock my doors too. I know there's things that we do. But to be honest with you, don't go into the realms that they're not valuable. Lord, help us to not get the attitude that they're not valuable because they are. They're as valuable as I am. If I get that out of the order and to think some way, Americans are more important than the rest of the world. Well, us Americans. Well, actually, we're not more important than anybody else. We have a great potential and ability by being Americans. Responsibility either. But our greatest attributes ought to be to love our neighbors as ourselves. If they're hungry, my heart ought to go out to them. It does me. Well, when my children are hungry, I want them to be fed. I couldn't stand the idea of them crying being hungry. But my children are different than your children in the sense that their cries isn't even as bad as yours. My children don't cry as bad as yours do. My children's misbehaviors is not as bad as your children's misbehaviors. Mine don't really understand what they're doing. Or mine have a different... We have that kind of thing. But I want to tell you what changes it. the rule of law. When I am in a situation like that, I ought to be able to look beyond and see the situation and want it to be made better. It is Christianity. It is Christianity. This is what Jesus done for us. He did not prejudice us. He knew what we was. And as He took care of Himself, He took care of those around Him. He actually looked at the multitude and said, don't send them away hungry lest they faint in the way. Yes. Why should you care, Lord? They come out here on their own. Let them get back on their own. Because I'm the perfect neighbor. That's why. Because it doesn't matter. These poor children are hungry. These poor people are hungry. They're in need. And how can I not help them if I can? And so the heart of the Lord was squarely on them. He's squarely on us. We're so out of order if we don't get that right. I could go on with my Christianity, sleeves down the year, doing everything that's supposed to be done, and miss the first thing in the whole order of Christianity. Which is to love my neighbor as myself. Why do I do all the other things anyway? I think there's a righteous way of living, but it's to honor those around you with right things and good things. That's what it's about anyway. To give the world a higher way and a better way of life, that we honor and respect one another. But if I miss this order, it's all going to be out of order. And it ain't going to work. So I think of those that isn't like, that's not like me. Hey, listen, I'm a mountain person. I love the mountains. I don't know what you guys do in this flat land, but you live out here. I guess you can make it. But the mountains are better. I'm a guy from the mountains. I love the mountains. But you got to live somewhere. Not everybody can live up there. But do you know what? We can get into that in the whole thing and miss the whole point about it. And Lord, help us. Because there is standards of life and there's things to do it. But don't look down. Don't look down on people because they don't understand what the Lord allowed us to. Yes. Really? No. Lord, help them. Lord, bless them. Help my heart to be one that would take care of my neighbor. Another scripture. Let's see. John, I think it was John 13. St. John 13th chapter. I think that's what I'm wanting. About 34th verse. It says, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another. As I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Now, think about this understanding. In history, to be a follower of someone was to take on who they were, what they believed. That's how you knew who they were. That this is a follower of something because they all, you know, wear their hat backwards and their boots unlaced. I mean, this is what he done, and those that follow it do that too. So when I look on and see, hey, that's easy to see. That's a follower of him because that's what he does. This is the common idea of all of this, is that you would be able to witness to the one that you followed. That you would say that. Well, they all wear an orange shirt. So if you see the orange shirt, you know that they're followers of those. Or they all skin their heads off and wear robes and walk backwards with their fingers in their ears. That's what he does. This is the guy. Hey, we know who they are because they do it just the same way. So the Lord said the same thing. The world will know that you're followers of Christ when you do what He done. And what He done was, He gave Himself for us. That's what He done. So that we would have love one to another. That we would give our lives for the other. As they looked, as people looked on and said, those people are devoted to one another. They're devoted to the people in their world. They give what they have to give. They'll sacrifice. They'll feed. They'll take care of the hungry. They'll take care of the sick. These people do it. They're followers of Christ. Because that's what He was. That's the greatest representation of Christ. How can we know they're of Christ? They doing what He done. That's how we know who they are. And again, I am not. I love holiness. I love righteousness. I love it to be in order. It does not make sense to me out of order. It does not make sense out of order. And so when I say the Scripture does not say if you wear your sleeves a certain length, now everybody will know. If you have a certain order or way about you, that y'all gather in the same building at the same time, you do not know. That's not what He said. There's an order to this and a way of knowing who you are. And that all men will know. All men will know. There will not be a doubt that when here is people that is willing to sacrifice time, money, energy to give to people that they don't even know to make them better. Who's that? Where did they get such a notion that they would sacrifice their lives, their time, their comfort, their things to make somebody else's life better? Where did they ever get a notion? They got it from the King in a royal law that He gave them. Love your neighbor as yourself. You love yourself? Of course you do. We pamper ourselves. We take care of ourselves. We do everything that we can for ourselves. Last week spent 4 or 5 days in bed because I was sick. I'm feeling bad. Well, anybody's going to listen? Anybody listen? I feel bad. I did feel bad, but I mean, we always have this. Get me something. Help me do so. I feel bad. I'm feeling bad. Love your neighbor as yourself. Over in, this is very familiar passage of Scripture. We all know the story. It's a very famous story in the Scriptures. Luke 10. Oh, 25. 10 and 25. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted Him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answered and said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength, with all thy strength and with all thy mind, and the neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. But he willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? Notice the humanity here. Notice the desire to try to get things in a bad order. You just asked a question. You answered the question right, but him willing to justify himself, he wants to narrow down, figure out how you can get around without actually really doing anything. Or get in, narrow it down till I can narrow it down. Now, where I live, really the only near neighbor I got now is Seth. Seth's my neighbor. Seth's my neighbor now, my son. So the guy on the other side of him, Seth's responsible for. I mean, he's on the other side right there. there, and the ones that lived across the street from me, they're gone now. They're both dead, so there's not much there. So I'm pretty well free from this as far as neighbors go, because, I mean, anybody that's near close to me is only Seth, and he still sticks his feet under our table enough for me to justify myself that I'm doing right to the neighbor. So I'm clear of it. I hope you guys get as clear as what I am with it. Willing to justify ourselves. Who's the neighbor? Who then is my neighbor? Who really is my neighbor? I'm going to have to get this right. Because Christianity doesn't work with it wrong. Now, people are getting wickeder all the time, and they're more perverse and need help more than ever. And there's alternative lifestyles, and there's all these things that are abhorrent to us. But it doesn't keep them from being our neighbor. It doesn't change that. It changes the level of need. It changes the level of maybe a prayer and activity towards it. But it doesn't change the neighbor. I was everything Jesus wasn't when he died. He had every right to say I wasn't worth it. Yes. But he loved me. And this is the only way that this is really going to work, is to love them. When I get that right in me, that I can really love them. Love them doesn't mean that I have this emotional gushy feeling about them. It means that I have come to the point that they are valuable. That person is valuable. That I would feed them, take care of them, keep them from hurting, lift a hand to them, bring them out of the ditch. What? How can I better do it? I can go with my head. I can go and put the blinders on. As we can read here, Jesus tells the story of it. Me and Dryas, I don't even remember where we was going now, but we was going, I think I was taking him to his friends, I don't remember, but we was going somewhere and it had snowed, and we was going down the road and we looked and there was a guy trying to push a car out of this car. He was way down there. There's no way he's going to push that car. And he's pushing and somebody's in there spinning and grinding on it and going by. Hey, I didn't know them. How could you claim they're my neighbors? I never met them before. Just seen them stuck there in the ditch. Just some old hillbillies stuck over in the ditch. It's no wonder they were over there. Them tires was as greasy slick as they could be. It was snowing and they were stuck down over in there. But I pulled up and said, you want me to pull you out? Oh, would you? I could have went on by. But if I was sticking down in there, I would sure hope that somebody was a neighbor. They could just give me a little help. I hooked them up, pulled them out of there in a few seconds. They're on their way, so happy, so glad that there was somebody willing to just pull them out of there. Didn't cost much. But do I care? You know, we can claim righteousness, claim holiness, we can claim all these things. None of it makes sense if you can't help your neighbor. Because that's what Jesus is known for, pulling people out of the ditch. It's what he does, is pull them out of gutters and out of the ditch and out of those kind of things. To say to somebody that's having a hard time, be of a good cheer. It don't take much sometimes. Sometimes I don't have the opportunity to go as far as I do. Talk to people a lot. Went by McDonald's one night and said to a young girl there, well, how you doing? I do it everywhere I go. Whoever's there, I usually say, how you doing? I have a little bit of conversation going on. And I said something like, how you doing? And the girl starts bawling and things wasn't going well. And I didn't really mean it that much. How you doing? I meant the answer is supposed to be fine. Thank you. How are you? But that's not life. And sometimes there's people that God puts us there. And a lot of people can walk by and be the ones that should be helping. What are we here for? Really, to make sense of our Christian experience, you have to ask yourself this question. what am I doing with what I'm supposed to be doing? I can go and try to make it all right. I can get it pegged down that I'm not supposed to send or receive Christmas cards. And listen, if you have that conviction, I ain't got anything against people with convictions. I'm glad for people with convictions. But you can't do that and not love people. Because you will have it in a wrong way. I may think that there's something wrong with that, but if somebody does it, I can appreciate their care and concern to even care and think about me. If I have it right. You understand what I'm saying? I'm not making a point about that. It's not my point. I'm just using it as an example that without the order, what do we have? So Jesus says it and answered and said, I want to say this about Jesus, and when he says this, he could have left these people that was willing to justify themselves. He could have left them thinking that they were right. He didn't have to tell them anything. That's mercy. That the Lord was extending mercy beyond his willingness to justify himself, to be able to explain to him. So he says, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance, there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. I love the scripture. It's so vivid. It's so human. I like to say this. At least I am a studier of human nature, at least self-proclaimed anyway, that a studier of human nature. And I understand this passage totally in the way it was said. The idea that they passed on the other side of the road is so vivid, so real. You could have walked right by them and had the same effect, but the idea of walking on the other side is resolving yourself of the responsibility. People do this literally. When they're removing themselves from the responsibility, they will actually literally move from the thing that they're trying to resolve themselves from. That's what he done. He of all people was a priest of God. Right? Having the attributes and things of God, he is suggesting that he follows one that don't care. About that one over there. So he moves himself away from the responsibility. I have washed my hands of it. I don't have responsibility in it. I'm in a hurry. And God has put me in this hurry. I'm in a hurry, and I will mummer a prayer as I go by that God will send the appropriate person, possibly, or whatever it may be, to come by. Hold it a minute. Now, I want you to understand this, and I hope this isn't my laziness, but don't get the attitude that the preacher is responsible for everything. Don't get the idea that now I met somebody and they need somebody to tell them about Jesus, so I'm going to call the preacher to do it. Now wait a minute. You're walking on the other side of the road. God is the author of this. God put you in the path. God put you in the place. I have that many, many, many times somebody would come and say, Brother Marty, you just got to talk to that one. No, you got to talk to that one. It's your law. Get that in the order that it's supposed to be in. And likewise, a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. Another person that was a called person in a place of ministering, a place of responsibility, ages long come down through the Levites, the ministering of the things of God. And after, with all of that, here is the ideal place to use it. And he walks on the other side of the road. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him and went to him, bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him. And whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. It sounded to me like he done a pretty good job. Pretty thorough. He left nothing undone. He done everything that he possibly could. But there's hitches in this. There's a reason why Jesus used this in the way he did. Because the men he was talking to would have had a great disdain for a Samaritan. There is nothing good in Samaria. There's nothing good. Them people are so spiritually bankrupt. All the Jews knew that the Samaritans were wrong. They were wrong. But I want to tell you, there was one that got his order right. You could look and say, I don't think that guy's doctrinally right. But I'm going to tell you something now, and you all get me right on this. But if I'm that guy that's beat up beside the road half dead, I'd rather have a guy that's got this right than his doctrine. And so would the rest of the world. But I get every off of it right now. Let's get it all right in order and get it all right. There's things that's valuable. As long as we get this first. As long as we get the right thing in the right order first, then everything else is going to fall in the way it is. Lord help us. To think what the Lord appreciates. This is what we want the Lord to appreciate. I'm going to tell you what the Lord said he appreciated. Love your neighbor as yourself. Put it first in this order of things. Build a holy, righteous life with the Lord on those things. Loving your neighbor as yourself. Loving the people that are around you. Jesus then says to them, I gave you this example. Now I gave you the one. Here was a Samaritan. This guy was obvious Jew. He came from Jerusalem. That's why he said he came from Jerusalem going to Jericho. He was saying who he was. And here comes this Samaritan by. It treats him like he was his own brother. Man, it's like treating him like he was a West Virginian. You know what I'm saying? Coming by and there's a West Virginian there. Treat this guy right because he's worth something. Man, this guy's from the right place. He's the right guy. And this Samaritan comes by and treats him like he's a real person. Treats him like he's got worth and value. That he's a human. That he's a part of the race. He's a part of who we are. This is... And I think of the one that done that for us. And he never come down and laid... And boy, he could have come laying down and said, this is why you're not worthy. This is the lies that you've told. This is the corruption that you've had. This is the lust that you've followed. And all of those things. And you want me to die? For you? No, he looked down and seen that we were valuable to him. Do you know the scripture? I've used this recently several times. There's a scripture that said that the kingdom of heaven is likened to a merchant man that goes and finds this girdly pearl. You know, we use that wrong. If it was the way we use it, it would say that the kingdom of heaven was like a pearl. Then you could say it's us getting the pearl, which is the Lord's the pearl. But he said the kingdom of heaven was like a merchant man that's seeking goodly pearls. The merchant man's the Lord, and he's seeking goodly pearls. And guess who the pearl is that he gave everything for? Jew. He found what he called a pearl of great price, and he sold everything for it. You can't say that we sold. We should. It's a good analogy. But we didn't give everything. He did. For our salvation. And so we say, I'm a Christian. I'm like Christ. Then I should love my neighbor as myself. I should... listen, folks. Don't get this wrong and think that I have to have a fuzzy feeling about every person that comes into my life to fulfill this. It isn't about fuzzy. It's about a choice about the worth and value of the humanity that's around me and what I'd be willing to do for it. I can say, I love my wife enough to die for it. Doesn't mean that she makes me feel fuzzy all the time. It means that if they come down to it, I literally would die for her. You say, I love my children enough to literally throw myself into a raging river for them. And know that I would. I would give my life to save yours if I could, is what it's talking about. I would sacrifice. Some people said they sacrificed that they die for somebody, but they wouldn't live for them. Now, wait a minute. Are you willing to give time? Opportunity? Give. You've probably heard me tell this, but it was real to me. Because we was going along and there was a situation where I was really, really tired and wanted to go home, and it had been long and just wanted to go home and wasn't feeling good and just wanted to go home. I'm going down the highway and there's a car broke down beside the road. And this was different than a lot. I see a lot of them. But it's going on. Well, this particular time I was going along and the Lord pointed out the road to me. Way down there, and there's somebody that's in need, and it was in my consciousness that I needed to pay attention to this. And I get up there and there's a car overheated and there was a young girl out there, and so I pulled over and the only thing I wanted was to go home. It was just a bad situation, just wanted to go home. But I pull over up there and she's there, and I look at it, and the car, the only thing I seen was a hose was busting. I said, well, you busting a hose. I think I could cut the end of it off if I had the stuff and put it back on, and if we could get some water, we could get you going and all that. And I said, so what do you want to do? And she, I don't know. Okay. And I talked to her again. Okay. Well, I want to help, but what you want me to do? I don't know if she says so. I ended up saying, well, we'll go to the next, we'll try to find something. So I didn't have pliers, didn't have a screwdriver. I had nothing to do anything. She didn't have anything. And so we went up. She actually got in the car with us, and we drove up to the next exit, and there was a parts store. So I went in and got some stuff, and she never even said, let me buy them. I get there thinking, well, I don't need a pliers. You do. You know, she didn't take any effort to do anything. So I went and got the stuff, and then when I went northbound, I forget what highway, but I went north, and so I had to go and turn around and go back south to her car. And when I started back south, this poor girl was like, what are you doing? Well, I'm going back to your car. And she's like, I was northbound. And we're like, well, yeah, I mean, I don't even know what to try to explain to this poor girl. I mean, she was northbound, I was northbound, but you can't get back down there northbound. You've got to turn around and go, wait a minute. So, well, anyway, I said, well, I'm going back to your car, and I could tell she was... Anyway, I got back there, and we got water and everything and put it in there, and she started it up. I seen right off that the real problem was her water pump. She was full. I mean, water was going... And I said, well, I can't... There's nothing I can do here with this, but I can try to help you get to a garage or something. I don't know. What do you want me to do? I don't know. That was what she was saying. I don't know. So, I mean, I had to literally make the decision for it. I had to do everything. I said, well, I think as long as it's running, ain't going to leak us back. I think we can make it. And so she said, you won't run off from me. No, I won't run off from you. And this is taking hours. I mean, this is time's rolling. I just wanted to go home. I wasn't interested in this. I wanted to go home. Anyway, she follows me. We get up there, and I get to, and get her and get to the garage and said, hey, there's a garage. There, they can fix this. And she just sits there. I said, do you want me to talk to them for you? Would you? Okay, I go in. Tell, Amen. She's got this little car out here. The water pump's at. Wonder if you could take care of it. And she's in a bad way, and she's going to Iowa or something. I don't know. She's going taken out. I said, could you help her? And the guy said, yeah, we can get her in here. We can get the part for that. We'll be fine. And I come back out, and after all this, I had to do everything for her. Everything. She wasn't doing anything for herself. I come back out and said, I've done all I can. They're going to take care of you. And I said, do you need money? And she said, no, I'm okay. And I said, okay, well, I'm going home. And you know, she started crying. She actually started crying and said, thank you for helping me. And when I got back in the car and took off, the Lord spoke so vividly to me, you'll never help anybody if you're not willing to sacrifice for it. You have to be willing to give of yourself to be able to really do it. I could have went on by, but I learned this. The Lord done everything for us. He done everything for us. When we couldn't do it for ourselves, He done everything for us. Right down to the end of it, He still gives us grace to do what we can't do. He still gives us grace. I was glad that I done that, and I understood something. When I have an idea that I'm going to go on a picnic, and something happens, the challenge, if you're going to help somebody, you're not going on that picnic. But I want to go on the picnic. Well, then go. But you can't help that person if you do. This is the time and the place. I'm glad the Lord didn't go on a picnic when it come down for our souls. Jesus says, which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among thieves? And he said, he that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, go and do likewise. What is the great law? Love thy Lord with all thy soul, mind, and strength. And the second is like unto it. Love your neighbor as yourself. What a challenge. The only reality of living for God is to do those two things first. We should for always consider that this is the reason that we do everything else. And then that will keep us from having a shiny car that don't run. Or the saddle without the horse. Or they look and say, there's just something messed up about that whole thing. There's just something messed up about that. That you can be messed up about it. Going through the grocery store one day and Linda clips my heel with a buggy. You ever been clipped with a buggy? She clipped my heels with the shopping cart. I jump and holler. Oh, turn around at her. And I listen, I just tell it the way it is. But I turn around like. And there was people. And the Lord spoke so plainly to me. You better watch it. You look holy. You're looking like something. You better have the law right. Because you're going to project an end, but people's going to say, that don't fit.
That's right.
They got everything in order. Their hair's combed. Their children are a certain way. They're going along. They're looking like this. And that guy looks like he's about to kill somebody. Don't work. It don't work. It's out of order. I mean, think about somebody walking down through Web City with a saddle on his shoulder, just walking along, happy as he can be. That don't look right. That's made for the horse's back. It don't work. That don't work. It don't look right. Well, I'll take my car and sit down. I'll put it at the park and I'll sit down there and shine it up real good and sit in it and let people come by and see me in there. Every evening, have the tow truck pulled back to the house. Don't work. And people would say, that tow truck takes that car every day back home, and that there's something wrong with that. That's right, there's something wrong with it. Here's this congregation and their holiness people and that, and they spat and fuse and don't get along with nobody. There's something wrong with that. There's people right around in their area that needs help, need somebody to touch them, need somebody to take them soup or whatever, and they look good, but ain't touching nobody. It's out of order. It's out of order. And I'm going to tell you, loving your neighbor as yourself is what touches people. When my first wife was sick and dying with cancer, my neighbor lady got sick, just had a cold. She just got sick. And my wife made her soup and took it over to her. And when she answered the door with a woman that was dying of cancer, that reached out and cared enough about her to make her soup and reached it to her, she cried like a baby. And said, I should have been making you soup. It touched her that somebody cared about her. That is the winning way of the Lord. And we wouldn't do all the other things, and it's so out of order that it just strikes my mind. That don't work. Treat me with respect. Treat me right. Do those things. It's far the better gift. It's far the better gift to reach out a loving, caring hand. I'd rather have that than the gifts. I'd rather have that than the things. I say to my own family, I mean, I don't like gifts, too. Don't get me wrong. I'm just not a person. I'm not a things person. It's not that. I don't think much of gifts if you don't treat me right. I want the honor. I want the relationship. I want somebody to really care. The other things don't matter. If I need them, the Lord will give them to me anyway. It don't matter. But this is the order. The royal law that is to cover all humanity. There's no limits to it. The race don't make no difference. The place and position of life don't make no difference. Rich, poor don't make no difference. None of it. That's why it's royal. It covers every subject. It covers all of them. It goes from the poor to the rich, to the rich to the poor, to the female to male, to race to all. It covers it all. That humanity is valuable. People are valuable. They're more valuable in our things and the things that are around us and those kind of things. To be able to just show somebody that you care means so much. It means so much. You pray for me.